Let's Pray. That's the name of this series here. And there are going to be some different topics we're going to be zeroing in on. And last week was prayer alone. And we talked about how that man, unless I have a living, vital, active relationship with God, we won't have anything to pass on to a fallen, dying world, to that kid next to you at school, or that neighbor who lives across the back fence. So that was last week, prayer alone, but today we're looking at prayer together. Next week we're going to look at pray in faith. After that it's going to be pray continually. And then after that, pray at warehouse. We're going to cheat and do a little of that early anyway. So, okay, you can go and crank the screen down. Thanks. I've got a few notes that'll be up on the screen. We're going to review a little bit. Some of you guys heard this last week. It'll just kind of set the table for the rest of us here. There's a mystery of prayer. When we pray, we are not informing God of anything. And it's this really will help you, I hope. It helped me a lot. Because often I can get frantic. Oh, you know, I've got a whole list. Maybe I want to get down on the whole list. If I don't get the whole list done, God's not going to know about this stuff. No. He knows about it. And the list, if it's something you care about, and yeah, then that's good. So don't want to negate the value of those lists. But let's not get into the thought that it's up to us, that God will work, you know. And there's all kinds of sayings, and I don't want to be a legalist on any of that, but like prayer is powerful, or prayer changes things. I'll say, yeah, but probably the better way to describe what we're really trying to say is God is powerful. God changes things. Because prayer is, the very basic definition of prayer, prayer is communication with God. It's speaking, and it's us listening. And we hear both from the Holy Spirit, who can give definite leading and guiding. We talked about, you know, Jesus being our shepherd and promising that his sheep would hear his voice and he'd lead us in and out to find good pasture. He wants to do that on a daily basis, on a minute-by-minute basis, I believe, if we're open to that, if we're tuned into wanting to hear his voice and we're based in the Word of God, which is the second way that God communicates with us. And anything the Holy Spirit tells you is going to agree with the Word of God, the written Word of God. So that's kind of the mystery of prayer here. We're not telling God of anything. He's all-knowing and powerful. You guys always hear me saying this. God loves relationships so much that He lets us partner with Him in His kingdom work. So when we pray, our hearts and minds are changed. Why pray then if God knows everything? He could do it by himself. Well, he loves relationship with us and he wants us to grow, to know him better. Jesus is revealed. Bless you. Jesus is revealed when we pray and we see him answer prayer. I was like, whoa, thank you, Lord. So for us to be able to grow spiritually, we're changed. And then also the people are changed, whoever it is that we're praying for, if we're not just praying for ourselves. Both are legit and valid. We talked about how the prayer is like water for the soul, and like the Word of God is like food for the soul, for your spirit. And again, you need that solid food. You might be able to go a number of days without eating solid food, but you can't go very long at all without water. Just like our physical bodies are very much comprised of water. You need that. You need that to live. You need prayer as just as much as you need to drink water. And you get pretty parched if you don't. And so, practical stuff. And I wish I had a lot more time to go over some of this today. And I am so thankful to a number of brothers and sisters, friends, that I have learned a lot. Not that I know all that much, because the more you go on, the more you find out you don't know about everything. It's definitely that way about prayer. But I'm really thankful for some friends that I've gotten to know, that I've actually prayed with a lot. So praying together can help make disciples. That's what we're called to do. That's that great commission. And prayer together helps us to do that. That we, when we pray together, we help each other to get to know Jesus much better. And I've got I was thinking, well, who's taught me to pray? Definitely all of the guys in the elder team here, even looking around the room. Many of you guys have helped to teach me to pray. Thank you for that. Some of you have known Jesus longer than I have. Some of you less chronologically. That really doesn't matter, you know. But it's good to be able to bond with people through prayer. And prayer is very much a bonding experience when we pray together with people. So, but a couple of you guys, some of you guys know Tony Danhelka, a real good friend of ours, friend of Warehouse Church, was here a year ago at our 25th anniversary and kind of finished our time together up here praying for us and commissioning us for the next number of years till Jesus comes. I've learned so much from Tony about prayer. There's another guy that hopefully before the end of the year we can get in here on a Sunday morning, Phil Migliorati. Few of you may have met Phil, a guy who kind of travels the globe teaching about prayer, and he can do that. And I think God has him doing that because he's a totally humble guy. But we can learn from each other when we pray. When we're praying together, we're praying out loud, just a few practical things. Pray loud enough that others can hear you, no matter what the setting is. You know, if you're praying and it's pretty quiet, you may not have to, you know, just shout. But if we're on the National Day of Prayer, walk across Aurora, and we're praying out here on Root Street across from the Vineyard Church, and trucks are going by, don't just pray like this, you know, unless you have laryngitis or something, I guess you do then. But, man, pray, you know, pray, be sensitive to everybody else. Praying together, that's a big part of it, is that, hey, it's just like we started, it's our Father. It's like, it's not about me, it's about God first, and then it's about others, us together. So just pray loud enough to where people can hear you. Another thing, don't hog all the prayer time. I've been guilty of that before. Once in a while, I still am. Often we want to preach instead of pray, you know, or pray God get them kind of prayers, judgmental prayers. Don't do that. Be full of grace, be full of truth, but be full of kindness and mercy. Be full of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When you pray, stay on topic. And here's something you learn as you grow in the Lord when you're praying together. Again, you might have a prayer time that's kind of scattered or whatever, but if we're praying in the hallway before service with the tech team and the band and some others here, our goal and our desire there is to pray for the service, pray for our gathering together, you know, not necessarily, oh, I stubbed my toe last week and it's still kind of hurting. You know, unless that's going to keep you from doing what you're doing, whatever. But try to be tuned in to what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church right then. Because then that helps you that it's not about you or just praying for yourself or praying for people that you care about. It's about the group together. That you're being sensitive and caring about what they're caring about. And that helps you to be disciplined in prayer. And there is a discipline to prayer. We looked at Jesus last week about how so often he got up early in the morning or he got off by himself. There's others who were disciplined in prayer, certain prayer times. Some that were cultural, like in the Old Testament, Daniel praying three times a day, going up and opening up his window towards Jerusalem and praying. We see in the New Testament, the church, according to Jewish custom, they were going into the temple precinct at the time of prayer. That's okay. Those are sometimes good, valid reminders that we need that, hey, you know, I need to be reminded to pray. I was taught when I was a baby Christian, 1977, on a teen challenge in Colorado, some of the staff there taught me to, hey, you get up in the morning, pray. Have your first words out of your mouth. Lord, thanks. Thanks for another day. Another day to live and to serve you, you know? So I was taught that prayer together is a good thing and to start to listen to what the Lord is saying here. Here's another thing you can do, especially if you've been serving the Lord for a while. Encourage others to pray. Again, there's a tact and a sensitivity to this. Like it's not like, you know, Joe, why don't you pray? You haven't prayed yet, man. You need to pray, you know? But as you're praying together and stuff, you might just say, if someone hasn't prayed yet, just please go ahead and do that. Just throw that invitation out there. Or if you really feel led by the Lord for a specific person to say that, go ahead. You know, Sue, could you just pray for, you know, our neighbors on 4th Street, whatever. And, you know, hopefully that person will be open to that and whatever. But sometimes people are a little shy. Sometimes you need a little nudge. You know, some of us need a kick in the pants once in a while. And that's okay to do. So in prayer together, And again, I haven't yet used the word corporate prayer. That's kind of a theological term, right, Steve? That guy's pretty smart back there. He knows this stuff. Corporate prayer, but I always think of like IBM or General Motors or something. Whatever. So we just call it pray together, you know. But that's what some might call it. You know, let's teach each other to pray. As others have taught us, as the Holy Spirit's in the midst of the whole thing here. Let me tell you something. We've got a slide for this one, Phil. God loves to show up. And God shows up when there is prayer, united, agreed prayer together. That's okay. It'll get there. God shows up. And I mean this in a very real way. Sometimes when you pray for the Lord to show up, you know, somebody, and I used to be a real legalist like this earlier on in my walk with the Lord. What do you mean? God's everywhere in creation. He's omnipresent. Yeah, He is. Okay. Yeah. We should know that, and that's an important truth. But what we're talking about is, Lord, would You show up in a special way, a way where Your holiness, Your power, Your presence is recognized and honored and even felt here. We've got a quote here out of Matthew 18. I don't know about you, but often I think of Matthew 18. What do we think about? I do sometimes think about church discipline. And that's absolutely the context, the immediate context where this comes in. But I think the application, the true application, valid, okay application of this is much broader than this. Jesus says, truly, I tell you that if any two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by My Father in heaven. Again, this follows a section where it says, hey, if your brother sins against you, go to him, then take somebody else. If he's not listening, then bring it to the church. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. All of that. So that whole section is all about people, and it's all about relationships. It's not, hey, you think your brother sinned against you, call him a jerk, and you're done with him. No, it's done in community. Yeah, go to him first, but if that didn't resolve it, it's done in proper spheres of community. People are important. So that's that whole principle Jesus is dealing with. Take one or two other people with you. Even in the Old Testament, if someone was accused of something, was it just one person's word that was valid? No. It was the witness of two or three. That's what was valid in the Jewish court of law when they came to the city gates. And so there's something dynamic, something big and exploding and real about this. When two or three gather in My name, what does Jesus promise to do? Shows up. He shows up. Was He there if it was just you? Yeah. But there's something even bigger and even better if the two or three are gathered in My name. And we know that that has to do with the authority of Jesus, the character of Jesus. Not two or three are gathered and they call themselves Christians, but they're really acting like snobs. No. But in His name, in His authority, and in His character. If we're gathered like that, look out. There's some dynamic power that's going on here. We see this reflected in Psalm 133, just about how the Lord loves unity. You know how awesome it is when brothers dwell, brothers, sisters, everybody, when we live in unity. That's where ministry happens. That's where the Holy Spirit's poured out, all of this stuff. So God loves to show up when there's unity. And kind of the opposite of all of this was the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was people way back in the time of Genesis that were saying, hey, we're going to exalt ourselves. We're going to reach up to heaven. We're going to kind of bust through this sky, and we're going to do all we can to exalt ourselves. And God says, oh yeah, we're going to confuse your language. And that's exactly what they did, and scattered them. So that's the opposite side of the awesomeness of unity. But when unity is centered around God Himself, centered around the person of Jesus, man, God is just waiting to pour out a blessing. Whether you're serving the city together like Radius Camp helps youth to do, or whether we're praying together for the city like happens in many ways in Aurora, God loves to show up with all of that stuff. Okay, we need to look at a passage of Scripture here, and I'm really excited about this. When I was putting this together, I was thinking Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 is always one of those Scriptures that's in my brain here. And this is, like it says, this is how and where the mission will happen, that great co-mission, co-together, mission together, Matthew 20:18, 19 and 20, you know, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the age. That's our mission, our great co-mission together. But this is how and where. How is you'll receive power that's dunamis in the original Greek, the dynamic kind of power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And what happens after that? This is the where. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Guess when this happened? The first occasion of this happening was Pentecost. And for you, those of you who follow the church liturgical calendar, guess what today is? The Sunday of Pentecost, which is awesome. So that has everything to do with all of this stuff that's going on that has to do with God's people praying together. Okay? Acts 1:3, we don't have it up there, but Jesus appeared to his disciples. This is after the resurrection over a period of 40 days. 40 days he hung out with them. Then remember that in Acts 1, that he ascended. Man, he just, got raised up into the clouds and disappeared into the clouds. And the angels said, why are you guys looking? You know, he's going to come back the same way. But Jesus told them to, you know, when they asked him, hey, you going to kick Roman butt and come set up the kingdom right now? He said, no, the times and hours, that's not for you to know. The Father set those by his own authority. But go into Jerusalem, wait for the promise of my Father. Do you think they really knew what he was talking about? I don't think so. But the cool thing was that they went and they obeyed. That's pretty awesome. Turn your Bible, if you have it, to Acts chapter 1. We're going to zero in on a few passages here. All right. This is so cool. And I bet these people were often very desperate, but hopeful. I think there was that kind of weird tension in there that they're going up and down in this roller coaster of emotions. Jesus died, the hope of the world, the Savior who healed everyone else, rose the dead. He died. 3 days later, he's up from the grave. They all saw him. Then from time to time, over 40 days, he pops in and out and appears to different people. 1 Corinthians says up to 500 all at once. So it wasn't some mass hallucination. No, it was the real deal. So over 40 days, he showed up then here in Acts chapter 1. He disappears into the clouds and he says, go wait in Jerusalem. What were they doing in Jerusalem? Just chowing down together? They were probably doing some of that too. But it names a bunch of these people in verses 12 and 13. But verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. Together, constantly in prayer. That is so important for the rest of the stuff that's going to happen later in chapter 2 and through the rest of the book of Acts. They all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So we see a real community here, not a hierarchy and all this, but it's just a bunch of these different people mentioned. A really awesome, healthy, biblical diversity here, all just praying together. That's what they were doing. And I bet they were pretty desperate, and I bet they were pretty hopeful all at the same time. So they also did this kind of what's called the first church business meeting here, where they cast lots for who was going to fill Judas Iscariot's place here. Don't have time to talk a lot about that. But then verse 1 of chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were still meeting together. They were still hanging out together. They were still all together in one place. Was it still that upper room that Acts chapter 1 talks about? Maybe, quite possibly. We don't know for sure. They were all together in some place, and it was a place that easily facilitated somehow them being exposed to these foreigners who were coming to worship in Jerusalem for the festival. But either way, they were all together in one place. They were in unity. Does it say in Acts 2 they were praying? It doesn't specifically say that. We don't know what they were doing, except what we can logically infer by how it was described that these guys lived and what they did. They were constantly praying together. So I bet they were praying together. That's kind of what church history tells us, that that's they were there, whether it was in the upper room or some other place. But they're all in the same place. But let's talk about Pentecost for a second. I need to move on in here real quick. Pentecost is very literally means 50. It's the big 50, okay? It's the Hebrew Feast of Shavuot, which means weeks, or literally means seven, because there's 7 days in a week. It's the Feast of Sevens, the Feast of a Week, being 7 days here. This is so cool. So Pentecost is from the Old Testament. God told His people, hey, when you come into the Promised Land, don't think you're so smart or so educated or so cool that you have made your own wealth. He said, when you plant your fields, you get that first sheaf of barley, cut that thing off, and on this day of Pentecost, which was seven sevens plus one. Again, it's the numerology in here is pretty awesome. Again, seven is often I think we've got another slide on that, Phil. It's often a number of kind of divine completeness, often, the Trinity and all that. Often God chooses to use a number of three for His stuff. Man is often four corners of the earth. That's, we don't have time to get way into that. So there's just a lot of stuff you look at Scripture saying, yeah, cool. It's nothing you build huge doctrines off of, But even when Jesus said to forgive, this completeness, forgive seven times seven, or complete, 70 times seven, all of that stuff. So this seven, so this festival of weeks, also known as the festival of first fruits, it was seven sevens, 49 days plus one. The one means, hey, it's not the old sevens. This is a new day, man. This is awesome. And what we do when the priest came, and I love this. He did what the Bible calls a wave offering. They would take this sheaf and say, they're basically bragging about God and His faithfulness. God, You've blessed us. It's right here. We're not just talking about it or making this up. Here's Your blessing. We lift it up to You. And they had some other offerings that they did along with that wave offering. But they're bragging on God. They're like, God, You're awesome. That's kind of how I do that once in a while with my offering envelope when nobody's looking. Thank You, Lord. Stick it in the thing. Don't want to lose my reward, so I got to make sure nobody's looking on that. But they were all looking in the Old Testament here. They all were, and it was pretty awesome. So what's he saying on this? But basically, the first fruit said, hey, God was faithful in that first little sign. The rest is holy unto Him. The rest is going to be blessed by Him if we continue in what happened to bring that first fruits to bear. So what does that have to do with Acts chapter 2? Well, most of you guys know all of that. God poured out the Holy Spirit. These believers were speaking in languages they haven't learned. But guess who knew those languages? These foreigners who came to worship in Jerusalem for this Feast of Pentecost. And where this feast was all about, hey, God is faithful and there's a new thing happening. And guess what it was? It was the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, which, according to Acts 1:8, brings the power to be witnesses in your hometown and then beyond. So that's what happened in Acts chapter 2 as the believers lived out this pattern and this habit of prayer together, and the Holy Spirit was poured out, and the witness of God's kingdom work, about His love, about His activity was all over the place. So unity in Christ honors and glorifies God, and it reveals Jesus and His kingdom to people. That's a mouthful, but unity in Christ honors and glorifies God. Like nothing else, I believe that's why in John 17, when Jesus prayed for unity among His followers, He said, then the world would know that the Father has sent the Son. It's the big deal. It's the big deal. It really is. So foreigners heard the disciples declaring the wonders of God in their own languages. Guess what? This still is happening today. That's happening through Steve and Chi Alpha, that these university folks, not just the international students, but the hip-hop kid can hear the gospel in his own language. The kids and teens that come to Riverwoods will hear about Jesus in a way they can understand in their own language, because the Holy Spirit's still being poured out, because Pentecost happened and it's still happening. God is still faithful today. And what sets the stage for all of this? Prayer together. I don't have time to tell you this, but that some of you know about the ongoing Aurora transformation story. That where Aurora, is not 26 homicides a year. 2012 was zero. Last year was three. Three too many. But Aurora is a drastically different place than it was, because I believe God's people prayed in many different ways, continually together. The prayer walk across Aurora, pastors praying together every week here. So many different things and events that are based on prayer. The work of God starts in prayer together. Man, awesome, awesome stuff. Okay, not doing too bad, just a minute or two late here. So, Steve, come on up here. Steve Lehman. I was so happy when Steve... Yeah, give it up for Steve. Yeah. When Steve called me and... sent me an email or whatever it was, one of those modern electronic things, and just said... And said, hey, man, I'm going to be around in the area. He lives down by Indy now. And Steve and I have been good friends since college age. I'm a little older than Steve. He's wearing a shirt that was a band. We played in a number of bands together back then. Nexus was the name of one of them. And we were kind of the rhythm section. I was playing drums and he was playing bass. And I actually built a bass guitar cabinet for him and all kinds. Did you still have that or did you sell it?
It's gone.
All right. Anyway. But Steve and I go way, way back, and Steve is probably, and Chi Alpha Ministries, which he'll explain in just a moment, is probably our oldest official mission partner that we as Warehouse Church have officially given to. And it's, I don't know what it is, $75 a month or something, which isn't a lot, but it's, as people who serve in ministry know, that it's those faithful gifts that make the difference. On that. So, I'll let Steve tell you what he does, but I love him and his wife, Belkis. They've been here a number of times. And I've said, man, we need to kind of really reconnect because there's probably a lot of people at Warehouse who have no clue about who you are. And I'll try to be able to get Steve's newsletters that come and sit and die in my email inbox. We'll try to find a way to get them out to you guys. But anyway, Steve, tell us what we need to know. And then after our time, just so you guys know, oh man, you should pray for him. We're going to do that at the end of our gathering together. So take it away.
Hey, thanks. So can we go back one? Because I'm really ugly, but my wife is really good looking.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Belkis. That's my Cuban wife. And then Gabriel and Sophia, they're two kids. We adopted them as babies. And so that's why old guy like me has young people like that. So my wife and I, I think it's been like 24 years or something.
At least, maybe 20. Yeah.
Yeah, and we were at Eastern Michigan University. I'm from Chicago area, you're Wheaton, and Belkis is from Miami, Florida. But, so we went to Eastern Michigan University, which is kind of like up by the thumb of Michigan, and we were there a long time. And I used to drive from there to, come over to see, Randy and stuff in Chicago. Another friend, Deep Timber. Then I drive south through Ohio because I had some business in Louisville and stuff like that. And I started getting really bothered by all these campuses that, like, oh, that so-and-so university is like, yeah, we don't have a ministry there. Kyle doesn't have a ministry there. Oh, yeah, we used to have one, but let's see. I think their marriage broke up. I mean, it was just all these horror stories. And God just really started to speak to me. He said, why don't you do something about that? So we approached our leadership and said, listen, we are feeling like God wants us to come alongside, serve, help, and get ministries going in a lot of different places. So if you go back one more to the slide really quick of the map, when we took on that task in those five states, Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin, there were about 22 ministries, and today, about 7 years later, I think it's about 64 places that we're at right now, and happy that this year we're pioneering and launching a team that's going to go, we facilitated it, at Butler University and at Notre Dame. And so Notre Dame with a team, which we're pretty happy about that. And then there were no ministries in Chicago at all 7 years ago, and now we've got, I think we're on five or six campuses downtown, something like that. So what does Chi Alpha do? What Chi Alpha does is take the people of God, the gathered people of God, like you guys are here today when you're out in the park, the gathered people of God, and takes that and puts it on a university campus and living out the life of Christ with power and authority of the Holy Spirit on a university campus. And the university campus is a total moving target. When I got into this gig, it was like, 18 to 22-year-olds and Letterman jackets and stuff like that. The average university student today in this country is 24 and a half years old. Many of them have children. I mean, it's crazy. The whole thing of the 18 to 22-year-old represents less than 27% of our target right now.
Wow.
And so, Pastor Labonte on the way over here, and I'm like, yep, there's the dark. Because really, the whole community college gig, that is where America is going to school now. And I think in Miami, Florida is the largest college and university, and it's a community college. And then, of course, College of DuPage is huge. I think it's number 3 or 4 in the nation as far as size. And so part of what it means to be a missionary is to try to figure out the mission field. God puts you in a part of the vineyard. He's like, figure out how to pick here. And so it helping people know how to pick in these different places, how to bring fruit into the Lord of people's lives. So that's what we do. And that's what I do. And then I train these missionaries to get there. We've trained like 500 plus missionaries to raise their support, not only with Kaiapa, but world missions and church planning, stuff like that. Okay, next slide. And then, then we have a gathering called SALT. That's an annual conference. That's for the last one in Indy, which was very fun. And then we got hit with that snowstorm, January 5th, and that was really intense. And then the next slide is, I just wanted you guys to see that this is some pics, and then the next two pics too. These are our workers now. We went from having about 40, 50 workers to about 175 workers, and they're happy. We just came out of a conference. I know, happy is good. And so, so that's kind of the missionary force. One of the things we're pretty excited about is the diversity. My wife, Valkis, they asked her to be the national chair for diversity for Chi Alpha. And one of the reasons is because we've successfully recruited a lot of staff who are ethnic staff and training them and stuff like that. So we're thankful for that. How can you pray for us? My wife and I were approved just recently to go on a 3-month sabbatical, and it's to get some rest, to do like a, like when you upgrade your computer, it's like, and we're looking for the place to plug me in, and get some spiritual upgrade, some physical upgrade. I'm going to talk to Pastor Rowney to see how he dropped his weight, and And so, thanks a lot. I guess that's the big last slide is the big thank you slide. We just want to thank you for being faithful partners for years and helping us to just be faithful to what God's called us to do. What does $75 do? For a long time, it was $62.50, And what does $62.50 do? Well, $62.50 makes it possible that, you just pay the electric bill so that I could take that time that I normally generate $62.50, building a deck. And I can be helping get new campuses going, And so thanks a lot for being a part of that team, and we're super grateful. Thanks.
Cool, man. All right, Steve, yeah. Awesome. So in our Acts 1:8 here, all over the Midwest, for us that might be like Samaria, okay? Aurora is our Jerusalem, and Fox Valley here might be like our Judea. So Ben and I forget who else is coming up. Now we need to tell you about Riverwoods. This worked out to where both Chi Alpha and Ben and Riverwoods summer staff team was going to be here. So this is cool. So we're going to hear from these guys.
Cool. Good morning. Welcome.
Hey.
Yeah.
What are people doing in the comments that are right here? I love to teach this. One of the fruit of the Spirit is joy, right? Love, joy. And so I like to ask people when I speak to them, how many happy people are in the room? And when I ask Christians, it should be everybody, no matter your circumstances, because you have the Holy Spirit. Amen. So how many happy people do I have in the room? Man, you guys got to bring that out to camp, Randy. That's awesome. This is the only, I love coming to Warehouse. It's like, I've been up here a couple times. I love this place. This is the only church that I like had to make a sleeveless shirt and get a tattoo to come. I literally got a tattoo yesterday, so I had to show it off for Pastor Randy.
So ask him what it means later.
Ask him.
It's good.
Later.
It's good. Chris Baker, Ink 180.
Ink 180, yeah.
Plug for Chris.
Oh, man. Go ahead, clap for Chris. Well, I wanted to just talk about 2 minutes. I got to share with you guys a couple weeks ago. I feel like I was just here, but I got to share with you guys a couple weeks ago about what Fox Valley Christian Action is, Riverwoods. So I want to just give like a 1-minute overview of that because I don't want to go into the whole thing again. And then I brought some interns, they were interns and now they're summer staff, that actually have been on a 2-year process of developing relationship with Warehouse Church as it relates to the serving the community, so that's really cool. So this is Hank, Caleb, I'll let them speak in a minute. So Fox Valley Commission Action has been around for 37 years. We've been serving the low-income housing communities in the Fox Valley. Tony Anhelka, who is with you guys for your 25th. He was one of the founders, one of the co-founders of Riverwoods. And we call Riverwoods Christian Center. And so we, each year we'll have about 800 youth that come all from, with no cost to the families that come to camp. They come to camp for free. And so, you know, it's a collective effort of fundraising and those kind of things, primarily donor sponsored, primarily awesome ministry partners like Warehouse and many other churches and people that give to that. I know Jimmy Allen's made some awesome videos and stuff that help capture the video, capture the heart of it. But we have kind of two facets too. So one is the camp ministry, which is, we have 85 acres on the Fox River up in St. Charles. And then we also have an ongoing year-round River Works ministry, where we have staff that serve in the low-income housing communities year-round. And they,
yeah, Phil, go ahead, and you can just kind of click through some of those, give some folks an idea. No, it was you didn't. There's just some from the Church of Aurora camp last year, but go ahead, Ben, just cool. Kind of ignore that.
I'll ignore that. So you guys met Josenique, I think, like she was here with me when we spoke.
Yay, Josenique's awesome.
Anyway, she serves in a community called Southwind, which actually Warehouse has been connected with on an ongoing basis. There's youth that come every other Tuesday night as a part of the Warehouse youth. And so we connect with people and do that kind of thing. So that's kind of a very brief overview. There's a whole lot more. But basically, we wanted to share that with you, and we want to let you know about a Warehouse Week, partnership Church of Aurora Week for Southwind. And so I wanted to let Caitlin, I want to say one thing before that. We came up here, I think it was in the winter of, not this past winter, but a winter ago, and we're like, Warehouse, what do you guys have? What do you do? And you're like, Randy's like, well, we don't have like this huge kids program, like Slow Church or whatever. Like, we do motorcycles, and we do kayaks, and I'm like, beautiful, let's start there. And so I'm really excited to see where that goes, but I want to let them speak about what Warehouse did last year and where that's going. So Caitlin is going to speak about the kids' camp survivors. She's going to talk for 1 minute about that. And, I was trying to...
Thank you.
What did you say? Just like my one minute.
I got 2 minutes, but it's probably four. And then Hank's going to talk
about
what happens with the kayaks and the team program. So,
Caitlin Bear.
Yay, Caitlin! I'm going to move this.
So to continue off of what Ben was saying, and meeting Randy at the Motorcycle Sunday. And that was kind of the kickstart for me, and I started getting super excited about it. And that was something that we did last year at the kids' camp. You can see some of the pictures where we had, there's 30 motorcycles that came
32.
Out. And just hearing the testimonies of some of the men and women that were there, and we have that coming again this year. Motorcycles are coming back again for the kids' camp in our third week of camp. We also have parables coming out for drama again.
Yeah. All right, parables.
So we have Warehouses kind of mixed in and out of our week three, and we're really excited for that. During the rest of the weeks of camp, we also have other churches coming in from the Fox River region, and we have, I think it's 15 different churches just within the kids program that are coming out doing big programs like this. Also, individuals coming to serve and coming with us on field trips. And we're really excited just to have Warehouse with us, but also with all the other churches.
All right. Amen. Yeah. All right, Caitlin.
And this is Hank Young, the teen camp supervisor.
All right, Hank. Yeah.
All right, so first, just as a testament of how incredible this church is, we've had training for the past 3 weeks. This is actually some of our staff's fourth time being here in 3 weeks.
They still come back. Wow.
Yeah, they've gone to the YouTube stuff twice. They've checked out the kayak shop, and now we're here for service. And it's just incredible to see just the partnership that we have with Warehouse. But so the teen program, we have over 30 high school students that will be staying for 7 weeks throughout the summer. And then over 50 middle school students that are going to be coming for a two-week period at a time. Last year, Warehouse came by and they made an incredible kayak.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Oh, man, I love this thing. So they made a kayak with our teens. So men came out, and every single day we had teens come out there and help shape and build and not only build a kayak, but build relationships. And it was incredible to see. So in a course of a week, they built the kayak, they could put it in the water, they put, later on they put all the plexiglass, the hard rock stuff on it so it can float. Now it's sitting, it's actually still sitting in the Maple, our main building, and yesterday Ben says, hey, we gotta get this thing in like the water sometime, or down by the kayaks. And I said, no, wait, man, this thing's too pretty. Like, I keep hearing it's like industrial, like expedition quality. I'm like, oh wait, this is too pretty to put in the water. So they're gonna be coming out again this year. We've seen the kayak in work already. It's downstairs. It looks awesome. And I'm just really excited for Warehouse to come and continue to build relationships with the teams.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Thanks, you guys. Yeah. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to close out our time together, and we'll pray for lunch at the same time. What we're going to do is, why don't everybody stand up if you can, since you just sat down. Can we... Well, we went up front here. Steve Lehman over here, and then all of the Riverwoods staff, summer staff right over here. If we could kind of compress the chairs after you guys are out of your rows, scoot this front row back so we've got a little more space up front. Because then we want all of us on the elder team here at Warehouse up front, and then we want you guys who are able, as many can squeeze in. Yeah, just push those back. That's why we don't have pews bolted to the floor. We can do this kind of stuff. It's not brain surgery. So... All right, Riverwoods folks up here, there's a whole 20-some of you, so let's do that kind of face out that way. Steve's over here. All right. Yeah, he's all by himself. All right. But this represents part of that Acts 1-8 thing. Again, for us it's Judea, and over there is Samaria, but hey, we're gonna pray. All right, just kind of line up. All right, squeeze in you guys. And all right, Warehouse folks, come on up here. You got to lay hands on these folks and agree in prayer. We're talking about praying together. Let's do it. Yeah. Come on up here. That's fine. Don't let anybody be unaccompanied here. All right. We need one or two more up here by Steve. He's feeling lonely over here. He's got Mike. Mike's an awesome prayer too, so that's good. All right, for the rest of us, let's extend our hand forward in a sign of blessing here. We're going to pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time here this morning. We're reminded that you love it when we are in unity. Based on you, Jesus, you show up, and we thank you for your presence here. Father, we bless these friends that are in front of us, Lord. We say thank you for Steve, Lord. I thank you for Steve and his friendship to me and his faithfulness to you and the work you've called him and his wife to, Lord. Thank you for their family, for their two kids. Lord, thank you for this time of sabbatical coming up. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would give Steve and Delcus a time of refreshing, a time of peace, a time of refocusing vision, a time of catching up, Lord, a time of, that they'll look back on, Lord, years from now and say, wow, that was awesome back there in the summer and fall of 2014, and you showed up, Lord. So thank you for our friend. Lord, it's been a joy being a ministry partner with Chi Alpha, Lord, and we know some of the results we won't know till we stand before your throne, Lord. And you let us know who was influenced towards you by their ministry and us helping them, Lord, as a ministry partner. So, Father, we pray that the best would be yet to come, Father. And we pray your health, your blessing, your protection, your provision, most of all, your presence upon Steve and Belkis, Lord. And we say thank you for them in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for Riverwoods. Thank you for the awesome work that you've done through that ministry for 37, 38 years now, Lord. Thank you for Tony and others who had the vision to set this stuff in place, Lord. But, Lord, we don't want to just celebrate the past. We want to look to you for right now and into the near future, God, for camp in 2014. Thank you for each of these career staff and summer staff that stand before us here, Lord. We lay our hands on them. We bless them in your name, Lord, as symbols of your hand, your touch that'll be upon them, Father. Lord, we join with the much prayer that's been offered for them already, Lord. And we say, Lord, would you help these humble servants of yours, Lord, to stay in tune with you, Lord? Would you help them, Lord, to be full of joy through the Holy Spirit, Lord? Would you give them strength beyond themselves, Lord? Would you give them just divine appointments, Lord, with kids, with parents, Father? Uniquely equip them for the ministry that you've called them to for this summer. Lord, so we would ask for the best yet summer of ministry for Riverwoods, Lord. We humbly ask you for that, all for your glory and for the building up of your church, for these young lives, these kids from these under-resourced housing communities and their parents, Lord, that this would just be part of the awesome kingdom work that you're doing, Lord. So would you strengthen them for that work, Lord God, and just equip Riverwoods in every way for that, Lord. We look forward to hearing reports at the end of the summer about the amazing, awesome things you did. And Lord, as Warehouse Church, we commit ourselves to you for this Church of Aurora week in a couple of weeks coming up here at camp, the building the kayaks, parables, the motorcycles, whatever else, the photography, Lord, with Keith and Sarah, the video stuff, all of that, Lord, would you just show up in an amazing way through all of that, all for your glory, Lord. And we thank you for the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon each of these friends, Lord. We thank you that we can do your mission, Lord, in our hometown and way beyond, Lord, because you equip us, Holy Spirit, and you fill us. Lord, thanks for the good gifts you give us, not only friends, but food to eat with friends, Lord. Thanks for these hot dogs, chips, pop, whatever else it is, Lord. Would you strengthen our bodies by the food and our spirits by the fellowship with each other, Lord. And we say thank you for all of that, too, Lord. We pray just that your blessing on the giving of your people, Lord, and our regular giving and our offerings and the special things we can do, may you multiply that for the work of your kingdom. Lord, I've talked a lot, but we commit it all to you, Lord, because you always remember, and you are good. So we say thanks for it all in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen. Amen.